what I came to realize, if I'm not doing the thing that makes me feel alive and gives me passion, I won't have the patience and the full bucket to give my kids what they need. I need to feed myself first.
This is Lisa Fox from LisaFox.ie, and today I have the beautiful Sinead Fine with me. Hello, Sinead. How are you?
Hi.
So, Sinead, tell us a little bit about yourself and your business and your life.
Okay. I'm Irish, as you can get from my accent, but I'm living currently in Israel because I met many years ago a hairy Israeli man and fell in love with him. We did a lot of travel, and we lived in Australia 10 years. Now I'm based in Israel. And when I came here, I realized, oh, I don't think I can do my business anymore because I don't speak Hebrew. And I'm a natural therapist, but I've always read tarot professionally. So when I landed in Israel, I thought, you know what? What I want to do is I want to go international and I want to do my tarot. So I built a website called tarotforwomen.com. And basically what I do is I teach women all around the world how to read the cards, how to get in touch with their intuition. I sell e-courses, I mentor, and that's basically what I do. And I work from home. I've got two kids, very energetic boys.
Yeah.
So that's me. That's where I am right now.
Beautiful. And what age are your kids?
What age? Okay, so Ben is nearly 5. His birthday is in 2 weeks. He's already told me what birthday he wants. And my son Ari will be 9 soon as well. Yeah.
Okay. And two boys is a very, I know I have one boy, and the energy of a boy is quite different to the energy of a girl.
Oh, wow. Wow, it's amazing. You know, when I first came to Israel, I was like, how am I going to learn Hebrew? And I thought, I'll work in a kindergarten because the 3-year-olds will always correct me when my Hebrew is terrible, and yeah, I have no problems to do it. So I worked in a kindergarten. It was amazing because I come in the morning, all the girls would be sitting around the table drawing their pictures. The boys would come in and go, whoa! And they'd be throwing things and hitting with sticks. And I remember going, wow, even at 3, you can see the difference between boys and girls. And my house is sometimes like a bomb hit it. They start, you know, I came home one day and they decided that it would be nice to draw on the walls. They didn't think there was anything wrong with it.
It's funny, isn't it? Like like when you have kids yourself, all these cliches that you've heard that you used to roll your eyes at, you start realizing that they're cliches for a reason. What's that one? A boy will wreck your house. Is that it? A boy will wreck your house and a girl will wreck your heart or something? I don't know.
Anyway, I'm done now, kids. 2 is enough for me. I tell my kids I've got like this energy bucket, and usually by the end of the day I say, Mommy's bucket's empty, time for bed.
Oh, I love that. I am totally introducing that into my house. I have 2 as well, Sinead, and I thought I was 1 and done, but no, I'm 2 and done.
Okay.
So talk to me then about for you, what it's like to try and manage your business and your kids at the same time, especially, so you're working at home, aren't you?
Working from home, and today I'm in a business hub close by, but I usually work from home. My son is in kindergarten, my oldest boy is in school, but then of course there's summer holidays. So, you know, like when there's summer holidays, I often get a babysitter, or I work in evening, or sometimes I wake up at 5 in the morning. I'm at my prime at 5 o'clock in the morning. So I'll often wake up and do like 2 or 3 hours work before they get out of bed. And during the school year, when they're in kindergarten school, I've got basically the whole day to work on my business at home. I went through the mother guilt thing that I think all us mothers go through. It's like, I should be a mom. I should be doing this. I should be doing that. But what I came to realize is if I'm not doing the thing that makes me feel alive and gives me passion, I won't have the patience and the full bucket to give my kids what they need. I need to feed myself first. And I found that since I'm really working in my passion and helping women, I come away more energized after work.
Yeah.
You know, it's amazing. It's like I can start the day quite tired, but after a few sessions, I'm finished and I'm like, I'm on fire because I've been doing what I love. And then it's like, I want to go out and play football with the kids and, you know, the Rambo wrestling that they like to do because they're boys, because I've got that energy. So like, I feel that if you're doing the thing you really love, it can give you energy as well. Definitely.
I totally agree with you. I feel like that's the big thing for me, is I'm such a better mother when I'm working. I remember when my little boy, so my little boy is nearly four, he'll be four in September, and just after I had him, I had that, like, you know what, I don't think I had postnatal depression, but I definitely had postnatal anxiety.
Right.
But a lot of the feeling, like, you know, in a very practical way, was just me being at home with him going, I don't want to be at home all day. I don't want to be here with the baby all day. And it was a very, like, it's funny looking back, I wish I had a little bit more patience with myself more than anything else, because it was such a short period of time. But I knew that, like, I had this feeling, because I was only working part-time anyway, but I had this feeling that, like, I don't know, like, I had ruined my life. You know, that I was going, like, before, when I wasn't working, I was doing fun things, you know, and now when I wasn't working, I was working, you know, but doing, like, you know, looking after
nappies
on my own,
dinner.
And quite isolated. And it was only when I really decided that I was allowed to do whatever I wanted and have him minded a couple of days a week and really lean into my work and, you know, create stuff just for myself, that that anxiety dispersed, you know, and that anxiety kind of, I was like, no, you can live the way you want to live. You can be the mother that you want to be. But I had this notion in my head that I'm supposed to be a different, you know, and I remember actually looking at corporate women going, aren't they so lucky that, you know, they have to go back to work. The baby is 6 months and they get to be at work all day long. And I was looking at my life going, I was teaching, like, you know, I think 6 classes a week and that was it. And I was like, and the rest of the time I have to be here. and it was only when I sort of was like, you can do whatever you want to do, Lisa. You can be a mother and you can also work and you can set it up whatever way you want to do it. But you had that notion of, like, that, as you say, the mom guilt comes from the conditioning, comes from the idea that, like, you're supposed to do it.
No, like, I'm Irish, you're Irish. Like, it's only in the last 20, 30 years our mom started working, you know. It's like, especially in Ireland, you kind of, our generation before, you grew up and mom was at home. Or if she was working, it was a part-time job, very minimum. It's like, you know, and as well around the world, I've seen it when I've traveled. It's like women have these ideas in their heads. I'm a woman, therefore I must have a child. That's one thing that women feel.
Yep.
Even when their intuition tells them that maybe they shouldn't and it's not the best thing for them, women feel, because I can make a baby, therefore I should make one.
Yeah.
And the other thing I see is women saying, because I have a child, therefore I must make them the priority above everything else. And I do believe that they are the priority, but we actually have to come first. Like, I'm sure you've heard that cliche, you're on the airplane, you put your mask on you first, not your kids.
I'm always saying that. Yeah.
Yeah. So if I want to be a good mom, I have to be good to myself first. I have to do what makes me happy, and then I'm happy. And then I don't traumatize my kids, you know?
Because, you don't traumatize them just as much. You're going to traumatize them anyway, you know? Just part of it, isn't it?
Exactly. And I think, you know, I think women generally in many areas of life, we don't allow ourselves to allow ourselves. Do you know what I mean? We don't allow ourselves to think outside the box. We don't allow ourselves to break the social norms. We don't allow ourselves to think that it's possible to actually put ourselves first. And I think it's changing. I think that the generations coming now, it's changing, and there are women that are saying, I don't want to have kids, or I want to have kids, but I'm going to delay it. You know, like women are taking more power into their hands, which is fantastic.
I think it is changing as well. But then, you know what frightens me a little bit, Sinead, is when you hear the statistics, I can never say that word, about the pandemic and yeah. how that's affected women, especially how much women have given up, you know, and exactly that felt like, okay, I have to be the one that tries to, oh my God, kill myself by working at the same time as trying to take care of my kids at home. I don't know how that is possible, or just give up my job altogether because somebody, you know, when there's no childcare available, I must take this on.
It's tricky. It's super tricky.
It frightened me a little bit, just because I'm somebody who's been saying for a long time now, it's changing, it's changing, it's changing. And I think that the reason I'm doing the work that I'm doing is because I want to be a big part of that change. But then when I heard those statistics, I was like, oh no, why is it? I mean, definitely in my house, and because I'm so conscious about this stuff, there was no way that was going to, it was going to be me sacrificing it. Actually, the pandemic in our house made things more equal than they had ever been before. And I can say that now we're truly equal parents, which I don't think we were before, but I was spurred on by those statistics and by yeah. that idea that, like, you know, like I just didn't want that to be true for me. What do you yeah. think of all that?
Look, it was challenging. We had three lockdowns in Israel, and each time I had to work and be with my kids, and it was challenging. And, you know, do I put them in front of Netflix for an hour, and then I feel mom guilt about putting them in front of a screen, and then it's like, okay, dad, can you bring them for a walk? Because you could still walk, you know, you could still go outside and walk around. We weren't allowed to go to the playground. It definitely was challenging.
Yeah.
We're not out of this coronavirus at all by any means. Like, we're seeing that in Israel now with the numbers rising again. And I think it's a wake up call on many levels to kind of reevaluate everything, to reevaluate as a woman, to reevaluate as a mom, to reevaluate within the family. I would say, like, for example, we are very equal with parenting. And again, before coronavirus, it would have been less.
Yeah.
It's like, you've got to be with them today. I've got to work. You can be with them. I'll be with them tomorrow. And yeah, it's definitely, and I would hope that, you know, women who have to work at home find ways to manage it, whether it's a babysitter, whether it's, you know, if they've got a partner asking for help, if they don't have a partner, is there somebody that they can pay to help them? Yeah, it's challenging. It's definitely challenging. And then inside all of that, trying to find time for yourself so that you don't go insane, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny for me, like, because my youngest is 1 year old, and she's just gone one, the idea of time for myself is sort of bizarre. But having said that, I am now just starting to come out of that cocoon a little bit. Like, we're, you know, I went into town with my mother the other day because I'm breastfeeding, but like, she doesn't need me during the day, you know, but yeah. I have to be back on time to bring her to bed. But yeah, just that idea of actually going out for the day, that was it was the second time I've ever done that since she was born.
Wow.
But yeah, like, even just going for a bath sometimes, it's like, oh my God, the luxury of it.
Yeah.
I want to just go back to something you said there about, you know, like using your intuition to be the kind of mother that you want to be. Talk to me a little bit more about that idea.
Oh, wow. It's such a big topic. I think, you know, I've been reading professionally tarot since 1997.
Yeah.
So I've had thousands of moms over the years come to me with, you know, a lot of the time it's actually not about their parenting, or it's not about the kids, it's about themselves. But what they're often asking is like, how do I balance it? And I think that a lot of women don't know how to access their intuition, or they kind of know what it is, but they're not sure. And if you kind of look at women especially, it was educated out of us, you know, like you're in school and you have to do, there's no like classes on, intuition, feelings, gut instinct. It's all about facts, knowledge, you know, data. And that's all front brain stuff, you know. And when you're thinking about intuition, you're going more instinctual, more backwards. So it's so important for women to know how to access their intuition, because when they do, they'll know if they're going to be a mom that wants to stay at home, and then they won't beat themselves up. Or they'll know, I'm a woman that needs to work in order to stay sane, but they'll know and they won't beat themselves up. Like, an intuition is a real, for me, it's kind of like it's like pure clarity. It's very direct, very concrete. It's clarity. When a woman knows her intuition and she feels it, she feels safe. She knows she's doing the right thing. And I think that many women have lost that sense of intuition, and they don't know, should I work? Should I not work? Should I have kids? Should I not have kids? How do I bring them up? Especially when it comes to parenting, a lot of moms have lost their way. You know, they read so many books, they listen to so many experts, and they lose their own instinctual knowing about how to deal with their own kids, because they know themselves deep down, and they know their kids. They know how their kids are. They know when their kids are having a bad day. So if a woman has a good intuition, she knows how to parent better as well. She knows when she needs a break. She knows when the kid needs to go to bed early. Like my son yesterday, he had a cry, and I knew straight away, he's just tired. He needs to go to bed. It's like tuning in. Your intuition is like tuning in.
How though? Like, okay. If you could give me, like, you know, like some practical advice about how to actually, because it's something that I admire. I think it's the quality that I admire most in other people, is when they use their intuition. I know that I'm incredibly intuitive when it comes to other people. Like, I can look at somebody else, and like you say, I can use my intuition about my children, about my clients, and I'm on point with it. But when it comes to myself, I don't know. I think it's a confidence thing. Maybe I just kind of don't trust my intuition. Yeah. How do I do
it? There's not one way. Everybody's got to find the way that works for them. Like, one woman might find that meditation helps her. Meditation's never helped me. I'm not one of these people that can sit and go, I'm not. My head's too active.
Yeah.
So what I found that worked for me was I would get myself in, I call it getting into the zone. So getting into the zone is where you get into a state where you're not thinking anymore. You don't have thoughts in your mind. There's a peace and a calmness inside. So how do I get in the zone? I go and I do my ceramics class, and I'm sitting there at the wheel, and I'm not thinking anymore. And when you're in that place of being in the zone and you do it over and over again, your intuition is like a quiet voice, and you can hear it. Because your mind's not in the way. If you can imagine that your mind is like da, 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 all the time, the mind is so active, so busy. You got to keep that. You got to quieten down that mind. But you can't quieten it down if you're stressed, if you're overwhelmed, if you never get space to yourself. So I tell loads of moms, for example, you got to carve out some time in the day just for yourself. And when you have that time, get yourself in the zone. And every woman's got to find out what that is for her. So for me, it's ceramic class. For me, it's walking in nature. It's dancing. I'll put on like hardcore rave and I'll dance for 20 minutes. And then I've got no thoughts.
Yeah.
And when, if you keep doing that and practicing being in the zone, then your intuition is allowed to come out more. It knows that it's been given the space. So you won't feel it straight away. But if you have this routine where you get in the zone a few times a week, you'll start noticing that you get this got instinct and you follow it, and then you're correct. Or you get a word or a message and you follow it and you're correct, and you wouldn't have had it before because your mind was too busy. So you might not get those answers while you're in the zone, but doing the zone is telling your intuition that you're creating the space for it. So you're kind of saying to your subconscious, hey intuition, I respect you, I love you, I want you to give me some advice, so I'm going to give you space. And what type of space would you like? And then the woman has to think about what gets her in the zone. Maybe for one woman, it's going to the gym on the cycling, the bike thing, whatever you call it. A woman's going to find out what it is for her. It could be locking herself in the bathroom, putting on the headphones and listening to something for 10 minutes, inspirational something, music. Every woman's got to find it for themselves. That's one thing.
Yeah. I just, as you spoke there, I realize I know exactly what my in the zone is. It's the
Okay.
bath.
Bath.
It's driving, a long
Okay.
drive,
Okay.
running. Those three things.
Okay. So you need to make sure that once a week, twice a week, three times a week, you slot those in to your day. That's one of the things is in the zone.
Yeah.
And no, I'll talk about three things that a woman can start with today, right? So one of them is find out for her what gets her in the zone and slot it into her week. Even if it's only 10 minutes, three times a week, it's a start, it's a beginning. The second thing is, and a lot of people forget about this, especially women, their body has to be balanced. If your body's not balanced, you're going to find it harder to listen to your intuition. And everything's interconnected, it's not separate. So, you know, like if a woman's not sleeping well, if she's forgetting to eat, if she's not exercising, or if her hormones are going crazy, or, you know, she's got a bad day with a virus or whatever, there are things that put stress on the body. When the body's in stress, you don't have that quiet space inside. So like I would say to all women, you know, go to your doctor once a year, get your blood tests, make sure everything's balanced. If your hormones are wacky, especially like women after 40, go check your hormones, make sure they're balanced. You know, we start going into the perimenopause phase. Like when all of those things are balanced, the woman feels better and then she's able to hear. Because intuition is not usually loud. It's not like screaming in your face.
Yeah.
It's usually gentle, subtle,
Whisper. Yeah.
whisper. And sometimes, you know, people will ask me, well, how did you know? And I says, I don't know how I know. I just know. But even the knowing can be quiet. So you've got to create that balance in order to get there, you know? So I always say to women, like, look at how your life is and try and balance your body. Are you sleeping enough? Are you eating well? You know, like just the very simple things in life. And that can actually help your intuition as well because you're back in balance. It's really, really important.
And is there anything to like I have in the past, I haven't done it in a while, but I love going to like I have a kinesiologist and she's like she will kind of check in with me. Like I would go at least kind of once a year and she would just test, you know, me for all the various things and she'll be like,
Yeah.
oh, maybe lay off the dairy right now or
Yeah.
you
Yeah.
know.
Kinesiology is amazing because it speaks to your body. Our body already knows everything. It knows if we're getting enough sleep, if there's a food that's right or wrong for us, how our hormones are, digestive system, the whole thing. Our body already knows. So when you go to a kinesiologist, for example, they can help you get balanced and they can speak directly to your body. Also like naturopathy, homeopathy, acupuncture, all of those natural therapies are really great for bringing you back into balance. But I'm also like, I'm a natural therapist, but I'm also a fan of Western medicine. And I'll often go and get the tests, but then I'll do the natural thing to bring me back to balance. So it's always good to go and check as well that everything's balanced and everything's okay. And you know, like even something as simple as if a woman doesn't have enough iron, she doesn't have enough energy, she's wiped out, she doesn't have the energy to even listen to her intuition. Or if her
Yeah.
intuition speaks to her, she doesn't have the energy to implement it. So,
Yeah.
you know, those are basic simple things like getting into the zone, making sure your body is balanced. And the other thing I tell women is to go the affirmation of I know. KNOW, like I know. So if a woman keeps saying that, the intuition inside is going, wow, thank you, thank you. And then the intuition will start speaking louder. So a woman, when she's confused, when she's in doubt, when she needs to make a decision, she should close her eyes, put her hand on her heart and say, I know. And she might have to do it 10, 20 times, but eventually the intuition will say, hey, she wants me to speak. And the intuition will start to speak. And it'll start giving you feelings of happiness and lightness when you go towards one decision and heaviness and apathy when you go towards another decision. So intuition and the body are so interconnected. And I really like women, especially, I like to teach them how to listen to the body so that the intuition is allowed to speak louder.
Yeah. I love
Yeah.
that. So being in the zone, creating space and time to actually allow yourself to be in the zone in whatever way that is for you, making sure that your body
Yeah.
is balanced and that
Yeah.
affirmation, I know.
Yeah,
I love it.
definitely. There are some, you know, easy things that any woman can start today.
And
Definitely.
so are those your three pillars, or is there any more that you have?
They would be the three ones that I would come back to again and again. Like, you know, I think every woman, for example, should have a tarot deck or an oracle card deck, because on those days when you're really like head wrecked and you're confused, you can shuffle your cards, and you can't listen to your intuition, or you can't hear it, the card will tell you, you know, and you'll pull the card and you'll go, ah, of course, that's what it was. So, you know, I think every woman should have a tarot oracle deck. But, you know, if we're getting back to practicality, and there's some people that would not want to do that, they don't like tarot, they don't like oracle cards. Well, they're the three things I would say. It's like, make sure that you get in the zone, make sure that your body's balanced, and tell yourself, put your hand in your heart and tell yourself, I know. And over time, your intuition will thank you, and it will speak louder. And for some women, the intuition, the answers will come in dreams as well. No, like they'll dream.
Oh, Avril, it's funny, just before we started recording, I was telling you about a dream I had about you last night.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's, I find, for me, it does come in dreams. Do you know, like I do, and it is, I suppose, it's just that, like, just as we're talking, it's becoming so much clearer to me. It's a decision to trust yourself, really, isn't it?
Yeah, like, that's what it's all about, is trust. Yeah.
And which is exactly what confidence is as well, by the way, isn't it? Like, that self-trust, it's self-trust. But come here, talk to me a little bit more about tarot, Sinead, because obviously this is how I came into contact with you first. So just to give a little bit of background, over the last year and a half, or however long we've been going through this bloody pandemic, it's more than a year and a half now, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. But so I like I've always believed in tarot, but not really I've never really like, I don't have much experience of it. I tell you, for me, it was a very good friend of mine who I knew from when I was working in Belgium. She started getting into reading tarot, and she had a gift for it. So whenever I would go to Belgium to go back to visit her, we would spend hours. She'd always take out her deck and she'd do a reading for me, and like, it was always so bang on. I still have the notes that I wrote down. What I mean, she, you know, stuff that she told me about, like, you know, before I met my husband and how I would meet him and all that kind of stuff. So I've always been kind of fascinated by it, but I found myself in a bit of a moment, I think, as most of the world probably did, when the pandemic struck, because I had a performance arts school, very, very successful. It was all ticking along great, making loads of money, and but also I'd been doing it for years, but there was something more I wanted to do, but I'd never, like, I wanted to have an online business, and I'd never really gone for it. I'd set up certain things, and I'd done certain bits of work and certain bits of study and, you know, whatever, but never really gone for it. Anyway, the pandemic hit, and I was also pregnant at the time, and of course I had a little freak out, and I can't remember exactly what prompted me to contact you, or whether somebody referred me to you or not. I can't remember, but I contacted you and I said, listen, would you do a reading for me? I knew that you did the readings online, and you were like, yeah, no problem, we set it up. And since then, it was like, so that tarot reading, I really credit with me actually deciding for once and for all that I was really just going to go for it and actually start the business that I now currently have that has really taken off. But now I really, like, I just find whenever I have a decision to make, and that's the thing with, like, the intuition thing, even if you trust your intuition, the tarot is such a beautiful tool to help you make decisions, I find. But I want you to talk to me more about tarot, because I know obviously there's other purposes for it as well, rather than just making decisions. But tell me, look, first, how did you get into it?
How did I get into it? Oh my God, that's a long story. I'd have to go to my blog. It's like, I wrote a three-part blog on it. It was a friend of mine who was a dowser and a diviner, was in the RDS. Remember, they used to do the body, mind, spiritual in the RDS in Dublin?
Yeah.
And he said, listen, come along and help me out for the weekend and bring your tarot cards. And I had a deck of tarot cards and I did not have a clue what to do with them. Like, I was confused every time, and I'd read a book and it'd be more confused. It was kind of like the days before the internet or the very beginning. And I was just so confused by them, and I gave up. And he says, so bring them along and we'll play with them, because he was a tarot reader. He said, we'll play with them when it's quiet. So I rock up to the RDS show for 3 days to help him, because I got a free ticket and whatever, and I thought it'd be fun. And I rock up and there's a sign saying tarot readings, £5. And I said to Joe, I said, Joe, are you giving tarot readings? He said, no, you are. And I went, what? What? I had a panic attack. I said, I don't know how to do it. I don't know anything. He said, best way to learn. I ran to the toilet. I thought I was going to pass out. And then I thought, you know what? I'll try it. And worst case, if I fail, I'll leave. I'll just leave. And I don't know what made me, but I went back and I said, I'm going to kill you after this, but I'll sit down now and I'll do it. And the first guy that sat down was a professional tarot reader. I nearly died.
Oh my God, he was the guy that sat down was a professional tarot reader.
The first guy that came for tarot reading was a professional tarot reader. I nearly died. I immediately started apologizing to him and saying, look, take your money back, your £5. I don't know how to read cards. He said to me, listen, it's okay. Let's try it. And I just pulled the cards. I didn't know what I was doing. And I just started speaking and talking about the pictures and the cards. And he loved it. And then he started sending loads of people to me, because he was booked up. So he sent all the others to me.
Wow.
So for 3 days, I read for I don't know how many people. I was wiped out by the end of it. Because at that stage, I didn't know about grounding and protecting my space and the whole thing. But it was like, you know, a baptism by fire, you know.
Yeah.
And that's how I started. And then, you know, the word spread and people started asking me, and, you know, I quickly decided this is it. It's my profession. And, you know, sometimes I did a part time, sometimes full time. But it paid for my education. It paid for my science degree in homeopathy, you know, and all along I was kind of like, well, I'm always doing this in order to get the qualifications to have a real career. Yeah. And the thing is, one day I woke up and I went, hang on a minute, I've made more money in tarot than anything else I've ever done.
Yeah.
And even though it's paid for the, you know, the professions, this is what I love doing and it's what I'm really good at.
Mm.
And, you know, and then when I came to, like, how the hell am I going to do tarot readings now? I'd never done it online and I kind of didn't believe it was possible. But then, you know, someone said, sell e-courses, do some tarot readings. And then it just worked. People started buying tarot courses, people started asking for tarot readings, and I would just really trust my intuition and say, even though I'm not sitting in front of the person physically in the room, even if it's a Zoom or it's an audio recording, I have to trust in the universe that I will give them the right information. And I generally I do. Like, it's very rare that someone will say you're completely off, you know, you're not correct. It's been very rare for me. So
I can attest to that.
Yeah. And the thing I tell people is, I don't believe that tarot is this, you know, there's a lot of reputation about it. And, you know, there are the tarot readers there that continue that reputation by, you know, wearing black and having a crystal ball beside them. But I'm very down to earth. And I say to people, look, this tarot deck was printed probably in a factory in China. It's 78 pieces of cardboard with pictures on them. There's nothing that's so esoteric about them. The thing is that they're a connecting tool to access yourself.
Yeah.
And so I help women to access their intuition and they use tarot to get them there. But, you know, eventually I should put myself out of business because the woman should be able to find those answers within themselves. But but I find that tarot is a fantastic tool, just, you know, to explain where you've come from, to tell you where you are now, and to give you advice about where you could possibly go. And I also don't believe that the future is set in concrete. It has not been created yet. I don't believe that the future has been created yet.
Yeah.
And that's where we're so powerful, because
I think so,
we
yeah.
create our future.
Yeah.
And the tarot helps us make the right decisions.
You and know, that's it's not certainly like, true of like the readings that you've done for me. Is and I think that's why I love your readings as well. You always, I think every single time you've done a reading for me, you've said, you know, like, this is not set in stone, the future is not set in stone, it all, you know, like, you've got a choice to make here, and
yeah.
that's what sets the future up. It's not about like, you're not doing like, oh, you're not re reading my future. You're reading my energy.
Your energy and your possibilities, like, tarot's great for showing women their potential. Now, whether the woman decides to step into it or not is a different thing, but tarot shows a woman her true path, her potential, her superpowers, her weaknesses, her blocks. It reveals all of that, and it really helps a woman get clarity about where she wants to go. It's I love it. I fall in love with it more and more every day. And I still feel like a student as well with tarot. I still learn new things about it every day, every week.
I think that's how you stay connected to your passion about something, though. Well, I suppose like that's for me. Like, I would absolutely say the same thing about what I do. I'm always learning. I'm always learning about confidence. I'm always learning about like, how to tap into success, how to tap into like, then like getting into your next level, and I love learning about that as much as I love, helping people break through to their next level, and that is, and I think that the day that I feel like I know it all is the day I'll probably give it up, because there won't be any interest there for me anymore. Yeah. Amazing. So tell me this, Sinead, like, what's the big idea? What's the big plan for you now? Because I know you're now really stepping into this. This is your full-time gig now. This is your thing. You're really like fearlessly moving forward, with your tarot business. What's the big plan?
Oh, the big plan. It's a big plan. I want to continue to sell e-courses, but I want to continue to do tarot readings, but now I'm looking more at doing one-on-one sessions, group sessions with women. I specifically only want to work with women. Also, like, live events. I would love in the future to come to Ireland, for example, and do live events with women. To get them listening to their intuition, to get, whether it's that they just want to learn tarot or that they really want to supercharge their intuition. That's the path I want to go down. And I also want to make sure that it's done in a way that's, like Denise Duffield Thomas calls it, the chillpreneur way, like without stress as much as possible, where my family are still, important, and I have time for them, and to choose my hours and to be location independent. That's a big thing. I want to be location independent and financially sustainable, definitely.
Location independent and financially free is like, for me, that's the big dream too. It's like those words are just light me up. I'm like, oh yeah, baby, that's what I want.
And I feel that there's so many women out there I can help. And the thing that I love about it is when I help women, I grow as well, because I'm with them, I'm working with them, and I learn. I'm sure you find that with your own clients. You never stop learning. There's
Constantly.
always something new to learn, and then you meet amazing women from all around the world, which is just beautiful. It's just, to be able to connect on such a great level, a deep level, and to watch them grow. It's such a beautiful thing.
Oh, it's just such a privilege, isn't it, Sinead? It's just like to help each other rise up. And that's, I think, what we have in common is that's exactly what we're focused on, is like just rising together, like helping other women to rise, and through that rising ourselves. It's an amazing, I for me anyway, it's an amazing moment in my life to finally be doing that, in a very empowering way.
I think energetically that's where we are in the world, and not every place, but in many places, women are rising up. They're saying, enough, I need to know more, I need more information, I can say no, I have the right to say no, I have the right to say yes. It's like everywhere you can see women becoming more empowered, and it can only be a good thing, especially for where we are now and the planet and moving forward. Definitely.
So, Sinead, tell us where we can find you, and what's the bet? Where do you hang out? Where can we find
Okay,
you?
you can find me at tarotforwomen.com. I've got free stuff there, blog posts, lots of information, free e-course. I've got this great meditation where I bring women to meet their inner high priestess, so to really get that wisdom and answers inside. I'm on Instagram, I'm on Facebook. I also have a free Facebook group called Tara for Women, and I'm usually in there most days, and that's where you can find me right now.
Beautiful. And if somebody wanted to like just dip their toe into your water, what's a great first step with you?
Ah, okay. So you've got your traditional deck, which was printed in 1909. It's called the Rider-Waite deck. There's lots of variations of it now. Like there's the classic Rider-Waite, and there's a radiant Rider-Waite, which is a bit more colorful. But that's what I would kind of call your foundation deck. And if a woman knows how to read that deck, then she can pick up about 80% of other tarot decks, no matter what design, and read them. So it's a very good deck. Now, a lot of women at the same time find that it's a great deck to start with, but then they want something more. And my favorite deck right now is called the Light Seers Tarot Deck. It's LIGHTSEERS, the Light Seers Tarot Deck. It's just beautiful. It's got amazing art. It's got all nationalities, all skin colors, all genders in it. It's very modern. And I just love the language that comes out of it. And I'm sure that that's probably the deck I used for you when I was reading your cards. It's
Yeah, I
my,
think it was. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
it's my go-to deck now. So they're the two that I would say. But also, you can go on Amazon or Book Depository and Google tarot deck. And there's so many now, so many tarot decks. And you've got to find one that you resonate. And then when you resonate with it and you like it, it'll be easier to read as well. But
Yeah.
definitely Rider-Waite deck for beginners, and the Light Seers deck as well, if you want something a bit more adventurous. That's
And you
also easy to read.
do you have an e-course that helps women learn how to read tarot?
Yeah, I've got a few. I've got a Tarot Basics, which is like I've got a free one, which you can sign up for it and do it for free. It's very basic, but it's good for beginners.
Yeah.
I've got a Tarot Basics course, which is kind of everything you need to start reading tarot today. I have a certificate in tarot, which is a longer course where you go through a lot of modules. And then I've got what I call my signature course, which is a diploma in tarot. And that's where I'm like there with you. You're in the Facebook group. I guide you. You've got a lot of material there that you go through. There's a project and exam at the end, and then you get a diploma. So that's kind of like the course for women that are seriously interested and want a qualification on the wall. So
Yeah.
I've got like for every level a type of course. I've also got easy oracle cards for women that feel tarot is a bit intimidating for them and they prefer oracle. I've got an easy tea leaf reading course because my grandmother and my auntie told me how to read the cards. Sorry, the tea leaves.
Yeah.
And I've also got Supercharge Your Intuition, which is a good basic course just on intuition. So I've got quite a few e-courses on the website.
Beautiful. And then do you also do readings? So if somebody wanted to have a reading with you, what are their options?
Sure, yeah. So I do tarot readings, and if you go to my website, tarotforwomen.com, you'll see in the homepage a tab for that, and they can get tarot readings. Yeah, for sure. They can look at the page and decide what they're looking for.
What's your favorite way to work with women, Sinead? Just fin we'll finish up with this question. What's your
Yeah.
favorite way to work with women?
I love working with women like over a period of time. Like they come to me and they want like 4 or 5 sessions. And we work out, either through tarot readings or mentoring, what it is that they want, where they want to go, what focus they want. And I'm not doing it right now because I'm home with the kids. So I've reduced that and I'm just doing tarot readings, but I'll be starting that back up in October. And that's where I'm doing packages and I work with women. But anybody can feel free to email me. I've got a contact page, if they want to book that in advance. But yeah, I love working with women and over a period of time and seeing them grow and seeing them grow and glow.
Grow and glow. I love it.
Grow and glow.
Sinead Pine, you are an absolute angel. Thank you so much for this. I'm sure everybody listening will find it fascinating and you'll be inundated.